All right. Well, happy Father's Day again. Welcome to Athens Church. My name is Sean C. I get to be one of the pastors around here. If you are not married, and if you're a girl specifically, chances are that video is how you anticipate all of marriage will be all the time. And as a married man, I will tell you, there are moments like that. We could make another video probably of some of the other moments. But anyway, marriage is awesome. Marriage is worth fighting for. And marriage is what we've been talking about over the last 6 weeks. And here's why. Marriage is like this foundational building block for all of society. I mean, every one of us have a story of our experience with marriage, either what happened with our parents or what happened with us or maybe what happened with our kids or what is happening. And over and over and over again, we hear the stories of the pain that comes out of broken marriage. You know, that's part of my story growing up. I relate to that. I resonate with that. I was with a young man this week whose life has been sent in a difficult direction because of the pain that he experienced. And so we think marriage is worth fighting for. And we think marriage is something that should do more than just survive, but rather it can really be great and we can fight for it. And so that's why for the last 6 weeks, we've been trying to invest in marriages. And I know this is the time of year where a lot of people are traveling, a lot of things going on. So chances are you haven't been here for every one of these 6 weeks. So I'm gonna give you a little bit of a recap, but here's what I would say. Any of these that you missed, you would do yourself a great service to go home, turn on your computer, and you and your spouse, if you're married, sit down and watch these messages together. It's like free marriage counseling. And if you're not married, same thing for you, taking notes and soaking up all the great things that you can do to prepare yourself ahead of time if that's something that you hope is a reality in your life. So we started this on Mother's Day. We had Sandra Stanley here, and Sandra said a number of really, really helpful things. But one of the things she said, which was huge, and that is prioritize your marriage even while you're raising your kids. She said, look, if you're married and you're raising kids, like you got to go on date nights sometime. You got to have getaways together, just you as a couple. And for some people, that's like, wow, that seems impossible. But here's what I'll tell you. If that doesn't happen while you have kids, chances are there might not be much marriage left over after your kids are out of the house. So that's a really big deal. The next week, we talked about this idea that one of the things that stops us from being closer together as a couple is that we stop growing individually. When we stop growing individually, we stop growing closer together. And we talk about growing individually, we're talking about growing spiritually, doing what God wants to do in our lives. And we said, ultimately, the closer we get to God, the closer we're going to get to one another. And here's how we said that. The closer we get to the one, the more that we become one. Then on Memorial Day weekend, lots of folks were out of town. And so chances are you missed this. And if you missed this, you have got to go back and watch this. Probably the best marriage message that Andy Stanley has ever given, where he talked about conflict and how do we pay attention to the conflict we face. And he had the analogy of Mr. and Mrs. Mugg, if you may remember that, and how they kind of keep colliding into one another. And he said, ultimately from that, you've got to pay attention to what's going on in your own heart. That anger or that resentment or that jealousy or that greed or that bitterness or whatever's going on, you got to pay attention to that because that is a huge factor. Then we had the joy of having our music director, Josh Bain, come share his story. And Josh boldly and courageously shared his story, which includes divorce. And for many of you, that's a part of your family or that's a part of your story. And if you miss that, you've got to go back and hear it. And if you know someone who's experienced that, it was so good. Josh talked about it through this lens of failure, forgiveness, and future. And it was just powerful, did an incredible job. And then maybe the highlight of the incredible series for me was last week when our mentors, John and Debbie Woodall, were here. And John and Debbie talked about, what do you do when there's extreme pain or tragedy or trials in your marriage? And John and Debbie specifically shared the story of two of their grandchildren who have died in the last 2 years, and their oldest son who is going through a divorce, who's now living in their basement as he's navigating all this. And that was just one of the chapters of trials that they talked about. But John and Debbie shared so many great insights, but here was one of them. They said, we've got to give each other in the middle of trials grace and space to react and respond differently. That we're gonna come about this in different ways and it's gonna be really frustrating for each other. And they even said there's gonna be times in the middle of that when you're gonna look at that person and you're gonna go, I don't like you very much. And I don't like the way that you're responding right now, but somehow we've gotta figure out a way. And a counselor has been a really key help to them to figure out how to give each other grace and space to react and respond differently. So today, I wanna wrap up this series specifically on Father's Day by talking about really one of the most divisive subjects for all couples. Now, I am no expert on all of marriage and kids and family and all that stuff by any means, I can assure you that. But I have been married for almost 25 years. And in my experience of being married for 25 years, most of the difficulties that Bonnie and I face revolve around one of these three categories. It's either kids, it's sex, or it's money. And ladies, can I just tell you this? Today is Father's Day, and it's a time to be honest. If men had to just choose one of those three, if we could only live with one, I'm not going to tell you which one it is, but it may be the one in the middle, okay? But I don't have the courage to talk about that today on Father's Day. So I'm actually going to talk about money. And let me tell you why I want to talk about money. Because as dads, there are lots of us that carry the weight of providing for our families financially. And that is a heavy, heavy burden. And it's heavier today maybe than it's ever been before. Because everything is so expensive, and we have all these comparison things with everybody around us, and we want the best for our kids, we want the best for our families, and it creates a lot of tension. And I can be honest with you and tell you that in the last year for Bonnie and I, the greatest tensions that we've faced as a couple have been around this area of finance. And so in preparing for this, I was reading all kind of stuff on marriage and money, and I came across this article in the USA Today that was actually talking about financial therapy. I didn't even know this existed. But apparently there is like counseling that you can go to just on how to talk about money. I thought, man, that is absolutely brilliant. And so I want to share with you a little bit about what I ran across to just tell you kind of where we are on this. It says, money is one of the biggest tension points of any marriage, with deeply rooted issues from childhood often shaping each perspective. But it's also a taboo subject, even more than sex among many couples. And few of us, so this is important, listen to this. And few of us have any education, not on money, but on education or training on talking about money. Fighting about money in the first years of marriage is a stronger predictor of divorce than fighting about topics such as sex, household chores, or in-laws, according to research at BYU. And then here's how we'll wrap it up. Other researchers have found that fights about money last longer, are more intense, and are less likely to be resolved than fights about other topics. Money seems to be a little qualitatively different than other topics that people face. And this is just a reality right now in our world, in our culture. I can tell you, of 20 plus years of doing what I do right now, it is unbelievably rare to meet a couple who has a plan for their finances and they have peace in this area of their lives. It's incredibly rare. Statistically, 75 to 80% of us in this room are spending 120% of what we make. We're up to our eyeballs in debt, and this is just this area of background tension that is always running in our lives. And a lot of times, the fights and the arguments that we have in marriage, we don't really realize what they're about, but if we dig down a little bit lower, a lot of times there's financial tension at the root of those. And so this is an area that is a really, really big deal, and it's an area that's worthy of our conversation. Now, as I said before, I am no expert here by any means. But I want to tell you a little bit of my story. When Bonnie and I first got married, we got married in college. Some of you have heard us say that before. And she was working full-time, going to school part-time. I was going to school full-time, working part-time. And still all of that added up to like zero income. Because our combined household income, okay, if you feel Poe, listen to this right now for a second. Our combined household income for the first 2 years of marriage was under $15,000. We had no money. We lived in a 14 by 60 single wide trailer, and this is the honest truth. The people we were jealous of were the people that had the double wide that were just a little ways down from us. We were like, man, where do they find that kind of money, you know? This was unbelievable. And so that was the reality. That's where we started. Well, then I graduated college, and we both got full-time jobs in ministry. I got a job making $22,000 a year, and she got a job, she should go back and sue someone for this, making $17,000 a year as a full-time employee. But here's the good news. Our combined income went to $39,000 a year, which more than doubled our income. Literally, we felt rich. We did not know what to do with all the margin. It just felt like more money than we could possibly imagine. And I had just started this new job, and I had a mentor in my life, Boyd Bailey. And Boyd said, Sean, y'all need to take Crown Financial Ministries. It's a small group study that talks about what the Bible says about money and how you handle all that. And I'm like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. Now, I'm going to pause here just for a second. If you've ever listened to me share my story before, there's a word that you're going to hear many times. And the word is mentor. And let me explain to you why. I recognize that I am an idiot. My ability to do stupid things is way greater than you could imagine. But I don't want the life of an idiot. I want the life of someone better than an idiot. So I continue to find people who are a little bit ahead of me and say, hey, how do you do that? How do you figure that out? Will you help me with this? And I'm just constantly looking for people that are ahead of me. And that one principle has helped save so much pain in our lives and has led us toward so much wisdom. And so Boyd encouraged us to take Crown Financial Ministries. We didn't know what we were doing. We said, okay, we'll take it. And in Crown, you had to memorize a scripture verse every single week before you came to the small group. But listen to this. You had to recite the verse to the people in the group. If you did not recite the verse and recite the verse correctly, you had to sit there quietly for the rest of the session while everybody else talked, but you couldn't talk. So there was motivation to memorize the verse. You did not want to look like an idiot in front of the rest of your peers in this group. But in that Crown Financial Ministries study, I learned what I believe is the single biggest spiritual financial reality for all of us today. And here's what I learned. I learned that our biggest financial problem from a spiritual perspective is that we think our money is our money. You see, my money is not my money. Your money is not your money. I didn't choose to be born at this time in history. I didn't choose to be born in America. I didn't choose to be born the color, the race that I am, in the family that I was born into, with the educational opportunities that I was given. You know, I didn't create the job opportunities that came about for me. I haven't created my own income. Like, God has been so gracious to me in so many ways. And here's why I know. You see, I feel like I work hard and I'm super thankful for the compensation that God provides for me and for my family, but I don't work a tenth as hard as my grandmother did. You see, my grandmother worked in a factory for about 50 years. And she never made more than $6 an hour. She worked hard. And she was a person, by the way, who probably had more financial peace than anybody I know, because she learned to live below her means. And so here's what I've come to realize. My money, it's not my money. It's God's money. And he can put more of it in there, and he can take it all away anytime he wants. And the moment that I come to that recognition, it is a spiritual transformation for my mind. And that happened for me and for Bonnie as we memorized a verse of scripture. And I want to share that verse of scripture with you this morning. It's out of 1 Chronicles chapter 29, which is in the Old Testament, verses 11 and 12. And in 1994, we memorized this verse. Everything in the heavens and the earth is yours, O Lord. This is your kingdom. We adore you as being in control of everything. Riches and honor come from you alone, and you are the ruler of all mankind. Your hand, listen to this, your hand controls power and might, and it is at your discretion that men are made great and given strength. You see, it changed our lives when we recognized that our money is not our money. It's all God's money, and we're simply temporary managers of his money, that everything in the heavens and the earth is yours, O Lord. And God, if you want to put more in there, great. And if you want to take it away, that is your choice. But we're going to trust you that this is not our money. This is your money. And that was a game changer for me. So this literally is the bottom line, the big idea from a spiritual perspective that I hope lands on you and me today. That the most important thing that we can do financially is we can come to the place that recognize that our money is not our money. So that verse, we're going to post this verse online this week if you follow us in any of our areas. I hope you will write this verse down. I hope you will memorize it. I hope you put it on your mirror. I hope you put it on your dashboard. I hope somebody gets a tattoo of this. Like, I want you to like let this land on your heart, because this can be an absolute game changer for you. And this is out of the Living Bible, the version that we got today. So in all seriousness, that's my whole sermon related to what I wanted to preach to you about finances, about money and marriage. And that is, I want you and I to recognize that God is in control of everything financially. And can I just tell you, that means when you've got a financial need or you've got a financial problem, pray about it. Talk to God. Literally twice in the last 2 weeks, God has shown up in a personal, tangible way in our lives financially, because we are asking God to help us. Because this is an area that just, it feels more weighty right now. Our kids are moving into teenager years and things are more expensive than ever before. And we said, God, there's things that we need. We need you to step up and provide for us. And God has shown up in very specific, tangible ways in the last couple weeks. And we're just coming back to this fact that everything in the heavens and the earth is yours, O Lord. So here's what I want to do. That's like my sermon. So like the sermon part's over. I want to move into something that I believe will be unbelievably helpful for you in the next few minutes. And I don't just want to share it myself. I want to actually introduce you to a couple friends. I want to share with you 5 money marriage tips that I think you could walk out of here and do something with today that could make a really substantial difference in your life. And the first way that I want to do that is I want to introduce you to my friend, Eric Wells. Eric is going to walk out here. Now here's a picture of Eric and his family. This is Eric and Allie and their baby Blakely. And Eric actually facilitates Financial Peace University here for us. And Financial Peace is a 8-week small group financial discussion from taught by Dave Ramsey on kind of how to handle money and all that. And so Eric facilitates this for us, does an amazing job. I wanted you to meet him because like Eric's really fun. And once you get to know him, you just want to take FPU because you want to be around this guy and hang out with him. And some of you have already been there before and you think Eric's like the greatest thing ever. So Eric, grab a seat, man. And you obviously facilitate Financial Peace for us. That means you and Allie have always handled money perfectly. Is that right? So just tell us about y'all's perfection in this area.
We were, especially me, I was born handling money perfect. And so, no, I'm just kidding. That's really far from the truth. And when Allie and I first got to know each other, we were both normal. We had car debt, student loans. We used credit cards. We carried balances on there. And, you know, if somebody asked us, of course we budget. But our definition of budgeting was, oh, let's open our bank app and see how much money we have in our bank account. And so, you know, my answer was always that we were budgeting. So, you know, the other thing that happened is giving was very sporadic. And that's even if we thought of to do it. So, you know, that's where we were then. I got involved at Athens Church and they talk about FPU. So I became interested in it. And I also took belief in the fact that, you know, their goals in life and, you know, how awesome is it that FPU can give you a plan to reach those goals. So I started talking about it with Allie and, you know, she gave me pushback and, you know, but through some persuasion and we agreed to take the class together while we were engaged. And now Dave Ramsey and his show and me getting to facilitate the class really motivates me, which causes our family, me and Allie, to stay motivated to hit our goals and have a plan to follow.
So you twisted her arm to be a part of FPU, and that kind of helped you guys get on the right place financially. By the way, when he talks about Dave and his show, if you don't know this, Dave Ramsey is a nationally syndicated radio host. He hosts a show pretty much 5 days a week on the radio, and it's constantly sharing stories and incredibly helpful. So because you're on the road a lot, that makes it easier for you to listen to that. One of the things that Dave talks about is the different financial personalities that we all have. He calls them nerds and free spirits, right? And the nerds are like you and me. That's like we like numbers. We like budgets. We're entertained by this. The free spirits are actually the fun people in life. Right. They're the ones that actually bring joy. So how does that work for you guys?
Allie is definitely the free spirit. And you know what? I'm so grateful for her because if she wasn't in my life, I would be a really boring person that never wanted to do anything fun that involved money. And so when we're making our budgets together, Allie plays such an important part in my life on numerous levels, but in this one in particular because she causes us to find ways in our budget to budget for fun. And one of the 2 categories that looks like is the clothing budget and then the eating out budget. We agreed that because I travel a lot, I can have a little bit more of a eating out fund, but Blakely has full control of the clothing budget. So what that looks like is a lot of times at the beginning of the month, I'll have to submit some kind of request. And, you know, it's becoming more and more formal, but, you know, if I need a new shirt, for example, I'll have to talk about that at the beginning of the month so we can plan on it.
If it's in by the 5th of the month, we'll consider it. If not, we'll consider it next month, right? Something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Did she tell you that?
Something like that.
So the free spirit plays an important part in the decision because, like I said, if it were up to me, we probably would have a little bit of fun, but maybe like fun you could have for $5. So when it comes to discussing the budget, when we were first married, I just wanted to talk about the budget all the time. So that was driving Allie crazy. So she made a new rule, and I have to follow it, but it's called, you know, our budget summit or whatever you want to call it, unless it's an emergency, I'm not allowed to talk about it. But on Sundays for 15 minutes, I have an allotted time to talk with Allie about budget stuff. So y'all understand that I'm allowed to talk about emergencies. And at the beginning of this, everything was an emergency. But now I've gotten a lot better at knowing what that is. We use the Every Dollar app that Dave Ramsey made. And it gives us the ability throughout the week to keep tabs on where we are in the budget. So it's the same budget on each phone. So it helps us.
So really at any time, she can pull it up on her phone and say, hey, here's how much she has in clothing left, of which you have none. But that she can
And I'd like to add, she does like to spend that as early in the month as possible.
That's good.
So sometimes that becomes an
emergency. You don't know when Jesus is coming back. You know what I mean? You need to go ahead and get that stuff taken care of.
Right.
So that's great. Well, one of the things that Dave talks about that's a really big deal is about being normal and being weird. Right? Normal, he says, in our culture is broke. Normal is spending more than you make. It's up to your eyeballs and debt. But every now and then, you got to live a little bit weird. What's that been like for you guys?
So it's awesome being weird, especially in the financial sense, because we've associated being weird with freedom. And so, you know, we decided that we were no longer going to borrow money. We got out of debt, and we decided to build and maintain a six-month emergency fund. And, you know, that's what that has caused is that's introduced margin into our life. And so that's become really important to us because being able to have some kind of cushion means that we can focus on things that are very important. For example, when Blakely was born, she spent 2 weeks in the NICU, and that is a very stressful time. And one thing that was not adding to that stress was wondering, you know, are we going to be able to pay this bill on time or, you know, do whatever we needed to do? So in a way, that allowed us to truly focus on our family in that time. And then the other area is, you know, just 2 weeks ago, we closed on a house and put our down payment down. So because of this, you know, we can, you know, wait and delay those types of things and do them right.
That's unbelievable. One of the things that Eric said is Dave talks about having an emergency fund. An emergency fund is 3 to 6 months of your living expenses set aside that you can get to immediately. And when you have something happen, like your daughter gets really ill when she's born, man, the peace that that brings is just unbelievable.
Absolutely.
And so I'm so proud for the way that you guys have lived this out. I know all your other friends had already bought homes and they had already done all the cool things ahead of time. He told me before that they've decided they're going to be a used car family. That's just what they're going to do. And everybody else has these good smelling, cool new toys. They don't have
new cars are so cool these days.
I know, but they don't have things like cassette players like mine have, right? So
his car does have a cassette player. He's not lying.
You don't have those anymore. But, man, that's just unbelievable. So Eric is the facilitator for Financial Peace University for us. We're going to offer Financial Peace University again in September. Now, here's how that works. It meets here on Sunday afternoons. It costs $100 to buy the kit to go through this. We buy the kits from Financial Peace, turn around and sell them to you in the same way. But today, because we want some of you to be able to kind of take this step, get over that first hurdle, in our Athens I Love You store, we're going to sell this kit for $70. And we're going to have an opportunity for you to just sign up and say, hey, when September rolls around, I want to be a part of Financial Peace. And if you do that, you're going to get to hang out with a guy like Eric, who is a ton of fun.
Who doesn't want to do that?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, look at him. Come on. And so, hey, will you guys just thank Eric real quick for coming to hang out with us? Thank you so much, man. Appreciate you. Here's one of the tips that I want you to kind of take away from this. You see, Eric and Allie have modeled for us that we all need a voice that speaks financial wisdom into our lives that counteracts the cultural voice. The cultural voice is constantly telling you and I bigger, better, faster, newer. But when you hear another voice that says you can wait, you can hold off, you can live in a different way, you can actually be a person that makes interest in life instead of pays interest in life, that begins to change your financial perspective. And so Dave Ramsey has become that voice for him and for many others. Okay, here's the next person I want you to meet, which is not actually a new person for you to meet, but it's a person for you new to hear from in this area, and that's Josh Bain. Josh Bain is our music director, and here's a picture of Josh and Laura and their baby Kate, and they actually have another little beautiful baby girl along the way. And you guys know Josh as as Josh, the music guy, but actually Josh is on our staff, and Josh is not known as the music guy. Most people don't know this. Josh is actually known on our staff as the YNAB guy, and I'm going to have you tell you what that means, but Josh is the kind of guy that at any point in life, you could ask him for a 60-second promo commercial on YNAB, and he's like, okay, I'm ready for it, yes. And so Josh, what is YNAB, and tell us a little bit about it.
I love YNAB. You had Mona V or whatever thing you sold, or LuLaRoe. Mine is YNAB. YNAB stands for You Need a Budget. You need a budget, which turns out you do. And this is an app. You can download this right now while I'm talking. Won't hurt my feelings whatsoever. And my buddy Ryan told me about YNAB. He was the first YNAB evangelist in my life. And he said, you gotta do this. Change our life. Revolutionize our family budgeting. He said, now it's a bit of a unique system. So you're going to have to change your systems a little bit. And I was like, I don't really want to change my systems. Now, the ironic part is, we didn't have any systems, actually.
didn't want to change the one
I was too prideful to change the systems that didn't actually exist. Something about being a guy, I think. Somebody tells you, there's things I will do, and then somebody tells me to do them, and I just don't want to do them anymore. But at the same time, we were pretty dissatisfied financially. I mean, things were fine, a little tight. We just weren't making progress. We didn't feel like we were winning. And so we ended up giving it a go. And YNAB is an app. It's a budget that you essentially, it's kind of like every dollar, you take with you everywhere you go, which is brilliant. Because sometimes in our past, we would make a budget to make sure it all lined up and worked, and then we would never look at it again, which would never work in any other part of your life. You would never do that, you know, say, all right, we're going to eat only 2,000 calories a day. Let's go to Chipotle, you know. I mean, you have to sort of keep track with things like that. And so YNAB is this budget that lets us, we take it everywhere we go in our pocket. If I go to Kroger and spend $70, you know, I'm immediately going to put in Kroger $70. It takes it out of our eating out category. Laura updates on her phone as well. And it's awesome accountability to let us know where we're going. We can change the categories each month, you know, depending on what we need and how many baby showers Laura gets invited to in a given month or something. But what's the best part about it, and this was revolutionary for us, really, was this month, we are spending in June the money we brought in as income in May. And in the month of June, our June income, we will budget at the end of this month for next month. We got a month ahead in the process, which for some people, you may have enough margin in your life to just be able to do that. We didn't. What we decided to do is move some money over out of savings to sort of get a month ahead, but it's been the best decision that we've ever made.
Dude, that's incredible. You just talked about so many different benefits that this has given you guys. I know there are areas in life like, hey, we need to, you know, pay the power bill every month, and we need to, you know, eat every month or whatever. Then there's things that just happen on like an annual basis. Things like your car tags, things like Christmas. How do you guys manage that kind of part of your life?
It used to be with a lot of fear and trembling, right? When Christmas gets here and you're like, oh, what am I going to do? Or vacations. But now, honestly, experts like Eric would call it a sink fund. But what we're able to do is set up a monthly just category, you know, every month, for example, for Christmas presents. And every month we put in $50 to the Christmas present fund. We don't spend it. And it rolls over, and then 50 becomes 100, becomes 150. So when November gets here and December gets here, we've got, you know, enough money in there to buy Christmas presents for all of our family. And it's been so great for a lot of reasons. It used to be I would, you know, be time to pay the cable bill or something, and I would, it would stress you out, and I would say, can we wait? Hey, babe, can we wait till next Friday to pay that cable bill? Because, you start to see your bank account go down and down, and it gets stressful. Now, as soon as the month changes, because we're a month ahead, I mean, it's all there. We got all the money we need, and so we're just able to immediately pay it. The stress is gone. Sometimes we even pay it early because we can, you know what I mean? Before, you know, Laura would say, hey, I'm going to go run to get some stuff from Target. And when I hear Target, I think, I need to get a second job, you know, because I'm afraid of what's about to go down, you know? But now, it's like Eric said, it's like we have a plan now. We have categories. We know how much money we're going to spend on, you know, groceries, how much we're going to spend on clothes and all that stuff. So I don't have to stress out, you know, if she spends $50 at Target. It's all part of the plan.
That's awesome. So again, the app is called?
The app is called YNAB. You need a budget. You do need a budget.
Awesome.
And they can download it from their phone right now, even while you're finishing
the
message.
And they need to like type in your name and you get some sort of kickback or something?
Yeah, find my personal Twitter later for a little kickback link. I'm kidding. I won't do that.
Hey, we guys thank Josh so much for being a part of this. Thanks, man. Here's what I want you to take away from that. You just need a system. You need a system to help you manage your money. Eric mentioned that they use the Every Dollar app from Dave Ramsey's system. Josh uses the YNAB app. We use one called Envelopes. It doesn't matter what your system is, but you need a system. Andy Stanley said this years ago. You got to be knowing where your money is going. Okay? You're spending it. It's going somewhere. Where is it going? Are you intentionally guiding it? And the people that I've experienced that are successful in this area of life have a system. Now, something that Josh told me earlier that he could have just told you as well. His wife, Laura, would say that this is an area where she feels like he is leading their family well. And guys, let me pause on that. I think many times as men, we don't feel like we're leading very well because we don't know what great leadership looks like. We don't really know when we're winning or when we're losing. And honestly, more often than not, it feels like we're losing more than we're winning because things are tense and there's challenges. But this is one simple way that he is, not simple, but this is one way that he has led their family and it now feels like they're winning in an area of life. And he feels like he's winning as a leader in their home. Okay, so I've got one other person I want to introduce you to. But before we do that, I want to share two other real quick money marriage tips that are a really big deal. Here's the next one. I want you to pause and read that for a second. We cannot have financial secrets from our spouse. If you want to be unified in this area, you can't have secrets. If you have a separate credit card, if you have a separate spending category that your spouse doesn't know about, you are creating division in your home and you're making it hard to be better together. So you got to come clean about that. And the moment that you come clean about that, the better place that you are as a couple to be able to walk through this together. This destroys lots and lots of couples. Here's the next one. Check this out. We can have, this is my personal opinion, okay? This money marriage tip is just Sean's opinion, but I think it's a big deal. We can have separate categories, but not separate accounts. And here's what that means. Bonnie works and I work, and all of our money goes into one checking account. We have one account that's the C family account, and that's how we operate. But within that, we have separate categories. She has a clothing category. She has a food category. She has a miscellaneous category. She can do whatever she wants with that money, never has to ask me, never says anything about that to me. In the same way, I've got clothing, I've got food, I've got miscellaneous. Just the other day, listen to this, I wanted some new shoes. I bought me some Steph Curry basketball shoes. I have been on fire since then. Absolutely unconscious. Just kidding, I wish that was the case. But I didn't need to say anything to her. I'd saved up the money. It was in my budget account. It didn't matter. It was in my area. So we don't have separate accounts, but we have separate categories. Now here's the last thing I want to share with you. Last thing I want to share with you is by introducing you to one more friend. About a year ago, we hired an incredible staff member around here. His name is Matt Stevens. And Matt and Lauren are just this really, really special couple. I think they're really a special couple in our city as a whole. And Matt came on to help us in some financial things. So if you give around here, I hope you've heard from Matt at some point in time, just saying thanks or maybe getting to know you in some way. He's an incredible guy. But Matt and Lauren, when they got married, they brought some financial baggage into their marriage. And so many of you can relate to that. And so I want you to listen real quickly to their story, and then I'll wrap us up. Take a look at this.
There are four kind of major battlefields of marriage that couples typically have conflict over. One is sex, one is money, one is family, and one is religion. We have a story of how marriage and money and faith and finances have all kind of intersected. I had recently moved back to Athens. I had really my first real job working for the University of Georgia and was kind of out of grad school after several chapters of that and had a mountain of debt. And my parents, in their wisdom, realized our church, Athens Church, does this thing called Financial Peace University, and we're gonna pay for it, and we just hope that you'll come join. And so financial peace is just another opportunity to sit in a circle, a group of people that are trying to move in the same direction and can bring their wisdom and can bring their doubts and can bring their mistakes. And over those 6, 7, 8 weeks, I went from disinterested in money, confused by it, it was daunting, to pretty excited about it.
I got introduced to Dave Ramsey through my dad, and that was kind of my first glance at being really intentional with my money and having a plan for it.
The huge win that we just didn't realize at the time is that we were aligned in our perspective. We were using the same vocabulary, we had the same set of priorities, we were aware of the debt that was outstanding for both of us. So we just really sat down and started chipping away. And there was a season where between the two of us and this sounds made up, but I promise you it's not, that we had 7 jobs between the two of us.
I would say the hardest part of the whole debt-free season that we were working so hard was just saying no to stuff that we never said no to before. Little things like your coworkers are ordering lunch and you're eating your peanut butter and jelly, or no to girls' weekends, just things that had always been a given in the past.
It wasn't easy. We were tired a lot. I mean, 7 jobs is just a lot, obviously. But we have some twin girls on the way any second now, and we really, really, really wanted to be debt-free prior to that. And we did it. It was about 8 weeks or so ago.
It just felt like a weight off of our shoulders, and we were proud because we had worked so hard for it. I would say the financial piece part for me was just feeling like my husband was putting our family first and our goals first.
We have walked through some very trying financial things, and we sacrificed to get through the other side. And we, I hope, have a story that we can tell our girls. We're gonna have the opportunity to set them up for so much success just through the borrowed wisdom of so many people, not just Dave Ramsey and FPU, but again, the voices and the friends and the cheerleaders in our lives and our parents and so many others that helped us cross this finish line. And we get to kind of stand on the shoulders of those giants and hopefully pay that forward.
So Matt told me that I could share this. He said, Sean, when we got married, we had over $65,000 in debt. And he said it was a really big deal to us that before we could start a family, we needed to be out of this. We needed to enter into another chapter of our lives. And he said, in just 8 weeks ago, we did it. Now, we shot this video this week, but unfortunately, Matt couldn't be here with us today. But the reason he couldn't be here with us today is this right here. So 2 days ago, May and Kaiser came into the world. And they came into the world to a mom and dad who said, we're going to live differently. We're going to be weird. We're not going to be like everybody else. We're going to tackle this giant, and we're going to overcome it. And they have this beautiful, powerful story. And here's what I want you to take out of Matt and Lauren's story. This is the mentality that we've got to have. This, we need a whatever it takes mentality. For some of you, this area of life is just kicking your tail. And you got to figure out a way to turn it upside down. And probably going through financial peace could be a game changer for you. Hanging out with a guy like Eric and hearing a voice like Dave's could be unbelievable. But here's ultimately what I want you to take away from today as it relates to these tips. You got to find a voice that is different than the cultural voice that's helping you and speaking a different mindset to you on a regular basis. You've got to have a plan, a system that helps you manage your money. Whatever your system is, it doesn't matter. Just pick one. You can't keep secrets. You got to be fully honest with each other. I think it's okay to have separate categories. You ought to have separate categories, but I don't think it's a great idea to have separate accounts. And then we all need, in the difficult, challenging seasons of our life, a whatever it takes mentality. And if you're willing to do that, I am confident that you can come out on the other side different, because here's what I've experienced. The people in life who come to the place where they say, God, everything in the heavens and the earth is yours, and I just want to handle this your way. I have experienced that when people do that, God finds a way to get involved and intersect with their world. And it becomes a game changer, a faith builder. Dave Ramsey said this, and I think this is an incredible reality. He said, change happens when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of the change. Change happens when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of the change. That's what I want for you and I. And I know lots of us as dads, lots of us as men, feel this weight, we feel this burden. But we actually can be better together. And this is an area where we can fight for this. We can make this happen. So as I mentioned in the resource area, there's the financial peace kits that are on sale today. We're losing money on that. We just want to do this for you. We want to help you take this step. If that's the right step for you, great. Whatever the right step is, we want you to take it. But I'm thankful that you've invested the last 6 weeks with us to talk about marriage, and I want to just pray for us. So will you bow your head and close your eyes just for a second? God, thank you so much for just the idea of marriage. Thank you for Bonnie and what she means to me. And thank you for just all the mentors that you've placed in our lives to teach us along the way. And God, you know our marriages need your help. There's such a battle against them. But thank you that you are stronger than anything we face. And God, thank you that you've provided for every single one of us in this room so graciously, so much more than much of the world. And so we're just very grateful. And so, Lord, would you help us to live your way in this area of our lives? Lord, thanks for dads. Thanks for what they mean to us and the incredibly key role they play in our lives. Pray that dads would feel honored and valued and celebrated today. So we love you and we pray it all in Jesus' amazing name. Amen.